You can see our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 14 through 20. We're at the beginning of a new liturgical year, the beginning of Advent, and there's a lectionary gospel that we read throughout the seasons. And first year, Matthew's year A, Mark's year B, Luke's year C. John doesn't get a year, so we're back to A. So this year's year B, it begins with Mark. So we just begin the beginning of Mark's gospel. These are familiar words probably to many of us. But as you hear them again, what is being spoken through these ancient words to you today at this particular point on your journey of faith? Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. There's an ancient ritual that takes place in just about every single school classroom across this country, maybe across this world. It happens at the outset of every single academic year. And the way it works is this. Students take their position, you know, in their seats, whether by assignment or by choice. The instructor then stands in front of them or maybe sits at the desk in front of them and begins with these words. Man, Jason. Milner, Britt. Sullivan, Danny. And then, it goes on like this for a little ways, and each time a name is read, a student responds with a timeless exclamatory locative. Here. All right, good. Do you remember that process? Anyway, okay, good. It's called calling the roll, right? Do they still do that? Anybody?
Yes.
Yes.
They do.
They still do it. And we, yeah, thank you, Professor Betterson. Okay, good job. Good job. All right. Anyway, I loved the call, rolling the call. It made me feel so good. It made me feel important. I was always in the middle, minic. You know, I'm always got to wait through all these people. Okay, let's move on through the Smiths. Not through the Smiths. We went backwards. Sometimes teachers would do that. They would go backwards, but it didn't help me. It didn't help me. I was still an M. But anyway, they'd get to me, and they'd go, "Minic, Jonathan." And I'd go, "Here, but I go by J." Every year I had to kind of clear it up. Any of you had that? Where you go by? Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anyway, it's kind of like getting your name in print. You know, your name being called. Let me ask you this. I want to see a show of hands. Anybody here remember phone books? John McLaughlin does in the back. You remember? Okay, phone books. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, every year we get this stack. When I was a kid, a phone book, you'd get it for the Virginia suburbs, the Maryland suburbs, D.C., and you not only got the white pages, you got the yellow pages. Residents? Okay, great. Every year, you get a stack like this. I love that. They come in, they drop in the driveway, they drop in your phone, I run out, flip through, there we are, again, this year. Wow, it was beautiful, it was beautiful. My neighborhood in Arlington, Virginia, where I'm from, when I was growing up, kids just ran wild. I mean, you would not do it today. I mean, you just let your kids go, and they went off and did things. And we would go off in the neighborhood, and we would play all sorts of games. We'd play a game called hide and seek. Does anybody here know that game? How about kick the can? Remember that? Tag? Got that one? How about kill the guy with the ball? Yeah, okay, now we're getting somewhere. They were great games. But anyway, We'd be out there all night, and then all of a sudden, the sun starts going down, and the calls would go forth from here in the distance. And it was usually the moms calling. And they had different calls, but usually like, come on home, sometime with a exclamation point at the end. Some kids had a whistle. Anybody have a whistle? And it was like a certain tone. I mean, you knew that was your call. And we didn't like it, but we went. We responded to that call the best we could. But we didn't like it, but it felt good in a way. Because it felt good to be called because it means you were in a relationship with somebody. Somebody cared enough to call you. What if you were a kid and no one ever called you? That was very sad to us. There was a relationship at some level because you were being named. You were being called. It was significant. To be called is to be located. Here I am. Do you know the word vocation? Okay, good. It derives from the Latin word meaning a call or a summons. And a vocation is typically understood to be to a profession based on a person's gifts and graces, that sort of thing. It was originally used by the church with those who were seeking out ordination, that sort of thing. But across the century, its meaning has become more liberalized. It's got a wider meaning. We talk about a person who's uniquely qualified or has a particular gift for a certain area. We call it being called. Sometimes we even ask, what is your calling? A lot of times we'll ask young people that. What are you called to? And by that we mean, what is your life all about? What is it going to be all about? Tell me what drives you. Tell me what you value. A calling is significant. It's significant because to be called is to have purpose, is to have direction. To be called is to have an identity. To be called is to be connected to something substantive in this life and in this universe rather than fumble about our lives from one transaction to the next. No. Okay. Now, have you ever taken time to give this some thought, this idea of being called? To what are you called? To what are you called? What directs your life? What guides your path of living? Well, here we are at the outset of a new year. What if that was our new year question this year? To what am I called? What if we decided to spend some time attempting to answer that question? What if we turned off the TV after the late game this evening? We turned it off the game. We put the cell phone aside. We logged off of TikTok. Oh, well, maybe not. Let's not take it too far. And we just sat there. Wouldn't it be something if we entertained that question, to what am I called? Wouldn't it be something to get up in the morning and go about our lives with a renewed sense of purpose and vision? Now, of course, it takes some energy and some intentionality and maybe significant energy and maybe focused intentionality to begin the journey of claiming your call. Because to be called is to be confronted, is to be interrupted, and many times to be summoned to go somewhere else, somewhere new. To respond to a call may require a realignment of self, a reorientation of our lives. Now, obviously, sometimes we don't want to answer a call, right? We sense it, we appreciate it, we value it even, but it's just too much trouble. We're comfortable. Inertia reigns. So maybe we don't pick up. Caller ID used to be a luxury. Caller ID... but not anymore. No. In an instant, we know who's calling us. Right? We have to make a pretty quick decision. Don McGurin, am I going to answer that call? I don't know. I'll let it go to voicemail. Sorry, Don. Sometimes we just don't want to take a particular call. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with that issue right now in our lives. Do you remember the parable of Jonah? Story of Jonah that was just read, part of that was read a moment ago. Matt read that for us. Don't get sidetracked by the detail of the story. No. You got to, what is the point? Well, Jonah was called to do great things, right? Great things. But we know the story. What does Jonah do when the call comes? He runs. in the opposite direction. Geographically, it's in the opposite direction. He says, I'm getting out of here. I am not taking this call. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city. But Jonah set out and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah said, I'm not taking that call. Do you know that feeling? That feeling when you know in your heart of hearts what you should be doing? You know what will bring life to you? What will bring life to your family and friends and world? But you can't do that right now, right? I'll do it later. You got other things to do first. I don't want to go into the story of Jonah this morning, but we know what happens to Jonah. The call wears him down. Better yet, it tracks him down, right? And leads him or carries him where he needs to go. And at the end, the call changed everything. It changed Jonah's life. It changed the world, his world. You know, sometimes we run from a call like Jonah, right? Oh, that's my mom calling. I hear her. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that right now. Maybe she won't come looking for me. Friends, I'm afraid that a genuine call, like many of those mom calls, if gone unanswered, will eventually come looking for you. And it will find you. It will find you. Maybe it keeps you up at night. Maybe it leaves you with, it's just that nudge, it tugs you over and over and over again until one day you're compelled to acknowledge its legitimacy, its claim on your life. You remember Abraham, story of Abraham? Abram? Anybody? Genesis? Bible? Anybody? All right, okay. The Lord called to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land, to the place, to the life that I will show you. And how about Moses? We talked about Moses last week. Called from the bush. Moses, Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. In other words, I will send you with purpose. I will send you where you need to be. And then the prophet Isaiah, prophet Elijah. And I think Hal talked about that a little bit. The call of sheer silence. The call that comes in the dark, in isolation of night. The metaphor for our lives. The call that demands a response, a reassessment, a vocalization. When Elijah heard it, wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Meaning maybe you should be somewhere else. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. Immediately, they left their nets and followed. Vocation, call. Obviously, the word is related to vocalize, to name. Friends, that's what we do here. We gather weekly, or as often as we can make it, all right? And we vocalize our calling. We make it public. Everybody knows why you're here. Well, maybe you were dragged here, but besides that, okay? Know why you're here. We remember that. We claim that each and every time we gather here. You know, I talked about this years ago. If some study was done, it says if you have a goal in your mind, you said, I want to accomplish whatever it is, and you just leave it there in your mind, it almost is never achieved. Almost never. But if you think of the goal and you write it down, and then you tell somebody about your goal, and then you ask that person, check with me on that. It almost is always achieved. It's like 90%. Wow. You know, we come here, we say, we vocalize, we are the body of Christ. That's what we say. That's my call. And together, we live into that call. Well, look at all this stuff. And that changes everything. That might change the world. Grammatically speaking, the vocative case is used for direct address, as in, like, you know, friends, Romans, you know, countrymen, that sort of thing. A call is direct address. Mark said that Jesus came to Galilee, the good news of God, the good news of grace. And then he saw these guys fishing. And he said, you, come with me. And you know what happened? We did. 200 years ago, for the last 200 years, that's what's been going on here. You know, I had the privilege of serving, this is years ago, on what's called the Capital District Committee on Ordained Ministry, the DCOM, as it's called. And the DCOM is charged with meeting with folks to help them deal or wrestle with a sense of call to ordained ministry, right? And when we meet with them over several years, we want them to name their call, and we divide it into an inner call and an outer call. An inner call is just that, I feel like I need to be doing this. And that's important. But there's also an outer call, and that is the fruit of that call. Why do you think you're called? And you look at some people and say, well, I'm called this. Maybe not. Others say it just lines up perfectly. Well, this is our inner call. You're here. You're saying you've been called. This is a season of epiphany, which is a season of manifestation. The question is, how is our call going to be lived out? How's it going to be lived out? So what if the church, what if we, the community of Christ, decide that in 2024, is that what you were, 2024? Okay, good. We're going to live into the calling that we publicly admit we have received. A calling that challenges us to make goodness and grace and holiness manifest in this world, through our day-to-day interactions, through our lives. You know, at home, work, school, whatever. A calling that drives us to feed, to clothe, to forgive, to care for, to be kind to walk humbly with others. It's that simple. What if we did that? Friends, if we did that, if we worked toward that, we would find abundant life. I guarantee it. I tell you, I love the story recorded in the 6th chapter of Luke's gospel. It's where Jesus is describing how to treat other people. Very simple stuff. Very straightforward. Hear these words. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The call. Now, of course, I guess it's possible that you don't hear the call. Okay? Because, you know, I miss numerous calls and numerous texts every single day because I have my phone on silent mode. And I never know it. So maybe that's it. Maybe that is the metaphor for us to ponder on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Are we living on silent mode? Think about it. He went a little bit further, saw two brothers, follow me, and immediately they left and followed him. All right, that's all I got. Thanks be to God. Amen.